Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to register for our next workshop coming up January 13th through the 15th in Texas in the lovely Hill Country. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748. Or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're so glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. How are you doing, Steven?
I am blessed today, and I'm glad to be alive, and it's a good season, and,
it's just awesome.
Joy.
So, yeah, Steven comes in singing Christmas songs, and he is in the spirit of the season. So we hope that you also are in the spirit of the season, being reminded that this is the time when we really point all of our attention to just the best gift that we have ever been given in our lives, and that is by our Heavenly Father, who sent us His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty on our behalf, that we did not have to die in our sins, but that we could be made right with Him through faith in His Son. And so I hope that this season, that is where your mind is focused and your heart is being reminded of just the grace of God. If you are really struggling with that, we know sometimes this is a season where a lot of pain can be highlighted from your past and family, and sometimes it can drown out the hope that is wrapped up in that wonderful message of Christmas and Jesus. And if that's the case where you're struggling with that, we would love for you to contact us so that we can help you through this season. We'll give you that contact information at the end of the program here. So, Stephen, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about really in the next two episodes on this issue of kind of roles of emotional brokenness, and then also how we can kind of tweak our emotional system and start getting healthier.
Good. Is that my cue to go?
Go for it, man.
Okay. Game on. Thank you guys for listening to us. You bless us by being out there. Mm-hmm. And there would be no purpose for us being here if you weren't listening. So I want you to know I'm smiling right now and I'm grateful for you. And it is a delight to be able to do this, to minister to other people.
And we love it when we hear back from our listeners and just how certain things are impacting your life and how you're starting to maybe make some connections based on some episodes that we've done. So it's a real blessing to hear back from you, and we would love to get your feedback.
Yes, and some people, go to great lengths and build biblical models on what we say. And some people use our material to have a little group meeting. And some people will just sit and journal the thoughts that are shared and work on personal growth. So however God wants to use this, to God be the glory. Mm-hmm. So I just came back from a Gateway weekend. That's our intensive men's training weekend. And it was interesting how guys would come in. I say, how'd you hear about it? Oh, my best friend came to this. He said I had to come. It would change my life. And one of the guys stood up and said, hey, on your website, a guy says, this is transformational. I go, sure, that's good marketing. That's good PR. And I'm here to tell you, it changed my life. This weekend changed my life. The whole direction of my future. So I'm not plugging the weekend. I'm just telling you, we're so excited. You decide what, if you have any interest in the weekend. But but it is like the incubator for ideas. Our intensive men's weekend generates lots of insights of what people are thinking and saying. And we wanted you to have a peek inside. And that's why I'm sharing some of this.
And I would say, I think one of the most common refrains that we hear from guys that do go to the workshop is that for many of them, it's the first time they've ever been in an environment where they feel safe enough to go into some of the areas we're going to talk about in this episode and the next. So I think that's something that I'd love to see that kind of environment replicated over and over and over again in our churches all throughout America and around the world, is where men can feel safe enough to say, you know what? I got some things that I've never told anybody else ever.
Yes.
But I don't know how to deal with them, and I need to deal with them.
And so pray for wisdom daily so that you can see things, because God is showing us things and growing us. And what occurred to me, what happens at this weekend is you sit around with 5 to 7 guys, and one guy tells his story. Then the rest of the guys give him feedback, and we are like a mirror to his life. His wife might say, hey, you have some shortcomings. And then, you know, it's handled however it's handled. But men will say, hey, why do you do that? That's kind of goofy. Knock it off. What are you doing? Hey, why don't you just talk to us regular here? What are you doing here? And so men will reflect back like a mirror out of respect. This is a culture of honoring one another, not breaking anybody down. And so I always pray to God to show me patterns. See, I think people are very knowable. I think people are predictable. They're repetitive. Just look for the pattern and then ask, what does that mean? I wonder why that person carries themselves that way. So I've been watching the pattern of who comes to our workshop. And so I have 6 labels that the men fit into one of these categories. Number one, are you ready, Jonathan?
Oh, man, I'm chomping at the bit over here.
The first guy comes in angry. He's just angry, you know, mad at the world, blaming, attacking, this isn't right, my wife's not happy, okay, I messed up some, but hey, you know, she won't forgive me, and it's bad, and they're just mad, they're angry men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of thing, it's that whole, like, mad at the world kind of thing, you know, you can just see it in these guys where you're kind of thinking, is there anything that doesn't trigger anger in you? I mean, like literally everything that, you know, they get mad about how you serve them lunch or something. You know, it's like everything just kind of sets them off, which is sometimes, we're going to get into this obviously a little bit, which is sometimes why they're so confused about why they are angry.
Yes.
Because they just, everything makes them mad. They don't really, it's hard for them to get kind of down to the core of what's driving that.
And if, what is anger? Anger is expressed disappointment. Mm-hmm. Okay? So these people have a lot of disappointment in their life. And if somebody says one thing wrong, does something wrong, they're already a bucket full of disappointment. And one more thing brings out the pushback on you.
Hey, let me make a comment right there, because everybody out there in listener land, that might be a great cue to go get a piece of paper and take some notes, because Stephen just shared brilliance with you in terms of giving you a very concise way to understand what anger is. It's expressed disappointment. That's a great visual to be able to say, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get what I want. It was going to go a certain way. I came home. The house a mess. I wanted it clean. I'm trying to get home fast. Somebody cut me off. There's a traffic jam. I'm mad. I'm disappointed. I'm going to tell you about my disappointment. Mm-hmm. And that's what the angry guy looks like. He's going to tell you about his disappointments, you know, and he's going to express it to you. He can't find rest. Mm-hmm. Number two is the controlling guy. He comes in and he likes it done a certain way. He's going to control. Some of these guys say, I walk in a room and I say, who else is in here and can I take them? You know, it's like they got to be in control. I'm the alpha man. I'm it. You know, I don't care. You guys are boys and teens and junior men. I'm the alpha man. I'm going to take control. Their stories are controlling. The way they talk is controlling. They dominate the conversation. It's hard. It's fast. It's controlling.
And I think sometimes in the controlling role, you also can see a lot of competitiveness. It's all about winning, you know. Mm. So, and to win, sometimes you really have to control because, hey, there, what ends up happening when you get into relationships or even get into work, there are many things that are outside of your control, right?
Right.
But the controller says, I got to win. So I'm going to manipulate my wife. I'm going to manipulate my boss. I'm going to manipulate, you know, it's like I'm so competitive. I have to beat the guy next to me. I got to be better than whoever else, no matter how dysfunctional that makes me.
So whenever it's a situation, if it's a work expectation, okay, I do what's expected. But when it's wide open, it's going to be my way.
Mm-hmm.
Just my way. I'm going to take it. If there's no direction, I'm going to take control here. And so we're listing these because these guys come to the workshop and they have this presentation. You can just hear it. The angry guy is disappointed and angry. The controlling guy is dominating, and he's going to tell you. He has the answers. This guy even has the answers to the problems, mm-hmm. you know?
And it's also, I think it's important to note here too, Stephen, that these guys come in really with very little, maybe even no self-awareness that they are locked in these particular roles. So the controller, guess what happens when you say, you're a controller? Well, how does he respond? Well, what are you talking about? You know, he might back off or he might say, I think I intimidate you or something like that. You know,
or he
like,
might say, you're weak.
Yeah.
That's why you're saying just weak.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they got to control. They got to win. They got to have the last say, right?
Exactly.
That's good. So I love this next guy that comes into our workshop, you know. Usually maybe 20% are these guys. They're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I call them lost? They say this a lot. Well, I don't know. I don't know. This is a grown-up, 40-year-old, 50-year-old man, and you ask him a question. He goes, well, I never thought of that before. I don't know. Huh. And you just hear this fuzziness when you ask them questions. You expect me to know? Am I supposed to know that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hiding behind I don't know. They couldn't figure out how to live, so they got lost. And they don't know a lot of things.
Well, and if you think about it, I think it's a great way to shut down a conversation. I mean, if you think about it, all of these are great ways to push people away.
Mm.
You know, the angry person, that's easy to understand why people would want to pull away from an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
But how many questions do you need to ask somebody where the answer is I don't know before you stop asking them any more questions?
Right. You're overwhelming me. I can't keep up with you. Right.
You just have a maturity about
your questions, and I don't know what to say.
Well, not only that, just as the questioner, you get bored.
Right.
And just frustrated. It's like, fine, you don't know. So that's a way to kind of keep people at bay from getting deeper.
That's true.
It's hard for me to truly accept that a 40 or 50-year-old man doesn't know anything about all of the questions that we're asking him, that he's never thought about this in his life, that he's never... It is that defense mechanism.
It's a tool.
Exactly.
Right? You're not going to know me. I don't understand life. I'm not very deep. I don't have any good questions. But you know what these guys are good at? They're good at fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
These are the video guys that go off for 3 hours and play a game, and they excel. They know the game, but they don't understand life and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tool. I don't know. If I'm not out there, I'm safe. If you go away, that's okay with me. I can go play in my fantasy some more, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just a tool they use. And you listen, people overuse this tool too much. When you hear it, this is a lost child. Kid growing up was not engaged well, not pulled in. The world's not safe. Fantasy is where I live best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the lost kid. Then the next one, number 4 out of 6, the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me help you. Can I do anything? Do you need anything? I'm going to please you. I'm going to be so nice.
And this is the guy that when somebody else in the group is really starting to break down in their story, they want to rescue.
Yeah, oh, that's
they
true.
They want to come in and...
Oh, don't hurt him.
Yeah, let's help this person feel better. And, you know, there's just such niceness.
That's right.
And, you know, I think of one of the things that I've learned throughout my life personally is that I realized that a lot of my life early on growing up, I was realizing that I was living in an environment and embracing an environment that chose nice over truth.
Ooh, that's good.
Because those aren't always the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes our niceness, like for instance, the guy that wants to come along and try to rescue the guy when he's getting to the broken place in his story and he's really starting to kind of crumble and break down, what he's doing is, I'm getting uncomfortable here.
Yes.
This is too raw. This is too real. And I kind of want to mask that. And let's put on our happy faces again. Let's put on our smiles. And
right. And so, you know, this all goes back to youth, right? You can mm-hmm. see this kid pleasing his mother or trying to please his father, you know, and not cause any problem. Why do you have to be so nice? Because home is so crazy. I'm not going to do one more thing to stress anybody. I'm not going to need anything. I'm just going to smile and be here and be nice. When in doubt, be nice. If things are hard, make them nice. If it's sad, make them nice. Don't let me go too deep. Just nice everything.
And I will say, this is probably the one role that in some ways is the hardest to push back on. Because here's this super polite, really nice, smiling pleaser. And it's hard to look at this person and say, you're full of crap. You know, and so it's hard to push on the night. And you know what? I think that is
non-counselor talk.
Right, yeah.
I would say, what's going on right now? How come you're not present? Jonathan would say, why are you so full of crap?
I'm not licensed. I'm not a licensed counselor.
They both go to the same thing.
Right.
You're not here, right? Where are you?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling this BS on me? I'm just a regular guy trying to talk to you, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes it's hard to push on that, is because they've got this presentation that's just kind of soft and fuzzy and warm. And
who likes the girls like this mm-hmm. guy? He's so nice. Now, girls don't want to date nice guys. I don't know. That's a whole other talk. I would like to retract the last statement.
Yeah, right.
Because the nice guys are, oh, he's my friend. All these guys are friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're smiling out there and understand what I'm saying. But nice guys can be around girls a lot because they're soft and nice and pleasing and kind. And, you know, the other guys, angry, controlling guys, they are like, ooh, get away. Too much of you. You're full of yourself. Number 5 is the storytelling guy. He'll come in and he'll just tell you a story. And it was interesting in the last group, one of the guys was telling a story on, yeah, I was a kid. I was in this difficult situation. And he's smiling. He's smiling. And it's a bad thing that happened. He's smiling. It's like the emotions are not fitting the story,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this guy's telling a story, but he's disconnected from it. He's up in his head and his logic rolling out, but emotionally he's shut down. Does that make sense? What does a storyteller look like to you?
Yeah, it's somebody that they're probably great at putting puzzle pieces together, but can't tell you what the picture is formed on the puzzle. Mm. So it's like, hey, I can look at so in other words, I can connect this fact to this fact to this fact to this fact.
Yes.
But I'm completely disconnected emotionally from how all of those things ultimately, what does it really show about my life? What does it really portray in terms of mm-hmm. like color and message and all of that?
If you could see Jonathan's hands, he's pushing his hands out in front of him. And that's what a storyteller does. He pushes a story out in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's behind the story, disconnected from the story. He's not in the story. It's fact, flow, story, entertaining. Makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. My story makes sense. Yes, mm-hmm. but you're not in it.
Yeah. And they can become very good at spinning a fantastic story, but there is a point in the story where you realize they're almost robotic now. This is something they've done so much that you realize I could probably walk out of the room. He'll still be telling the story, not recognize I've left, come walk back in, and he's still going in the story.
And my observation is these people make me tired.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're connected and you're passionate, you're expressing pain and hurt and a life that was difficult, and I'm on the edge of my seat listening to your story. But when you're just filling the air with words, I'm going, man, this is sort of boring. There's no passion here. There's no intensity. There's no life here. This is just a really good story. Where's the man behind the story? So the final one is this, entitlement, or the entitled guy. You know, life's been easy. Everything came my way. I got whatever I wanted. And why should I deny myself? Why can't I just have it? This is only about 5%, I think, of the guys that come in. We don't see this guy every group, but every now and then, this is like a golden child, got whatever he wanted. Life was good. He's entitled. Why does he have to stop himself? Why can't he? He's always not stopped himself.
And I do think this is an area that we're starting to see our culture kind of push into, and I think we're probably seeing more of the younger generation beginning to have this mindset of hey, everything should come easily to me, and I should be able to have whatever I want without any restrictions and boundaries. And so it creates this mentality that says if a wrench does get thrown in the gears, wait a second, that's not right. I mean, hey, why are you pushing back on me? Why are you asking me questions about what I'm doing on the internet? Hey, I can do whatever I want. It should all come easily to me.
Mm. So when you see these six presentations, here's what we know. Everybody gets angry and sometimes controlling and sometimes lost and confused, sometimes nice, sometimes just tells a story. Sometimes I feel entitled, like, hey, I want the best seat in the house. Why can't I sit on the front row? You know? I mean, I think we all know these emotions. But when they're fixed, they're a problem. If you do too much of them, if they become your identity.
And that, to me, is the key right there. Yes, we all kind of, I like the way you had written this down. You know, regular people do any or all of the above at some point. It's kind of like these are emotions and behaviors that we've felt and woven throughout our lives and things like that. But when it becomes kind of your constant go-to outlet and your constant platform from which you are living your life, and more of that identity piece, like, hey, I don't think I could lay my anger down, or hey, I don't think I could take off my nice mask. In other words, it becomes your identity. Then I think we have some unhealthy things going on.
That's good. So, because remember what I said, everybody's predictable, they're knowable, and they're repetitive. If you want to look for the patterns, you can see patterns in people. And when you see the pattern, you can see how they're interacting with the world, and then you can back up from that and make some assumptions. So here is the assumption: when somebody is playing one role, look, we're all dynamic beings. Mm-hmm. We are in our healthiest state, we're in a growth mission, emotional growth, spiritual growth, physical growth, right? We're trying to maintain health. We're always trying to grow and do better. But a stuck person can only do the same thing over and over again. So when someone picks a role, they become defined by that role, so you can make some assumptions. And here they go. Number one, that person is stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're stuck in their role. They don't have any options, you know? Nice people are not good at asserting themselves, right? Angry people are not good at being content. Controlling people can't stop themselves, you know? It's, let this go. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, they're stuck. Comment?
Yeah, it's just like a merry-go-round, and they don't know how to step off of it. It feels like it's going too fast, and they just can't step off of their role.
Okay. Number two, this emotional system is underdeveloped. When you play a role, you see life through your role, and you haven't worked on the rest of your development. So what's the rest of the development that we should all work on? So if you do these things, you can, you know, you're not playing a role, right? You should be able to rest well. Just be at peace with yourself, right? So rest, have more peace inside.
Mm-hmm.
You should practice grieving. There are many things in life that we must grieve, and you must practice releasing. Release some things. There's conflict. There's immature people. Just release them to God. Release them. Grieving means I'm sad this happened. Release. I hold my rest. I enjoy my peace. Right? And that's the skills of a well-rounded people. They can assert, but if they don't get what they want, they can grieve it out, release it, go back to rest. Role people can't do that. They overdevelop control, whatever, and they underdevelop the rest of their skills. Comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost, that's a great way to put it, because the way I kind of frame it up is wholeness, which I think we're all made for by God to be whole, has very much this idea of integrity. When you think about integrity from a structural point of view, it means there's consistency throughout. So in other words, you don't, when if you're building a building and you're putting in your you know, your posts to hold up the walls or whatever, you're not going to say, oh, you know what, and we're going to put 50 times more weight on that post over here than we do on this one over here. You're going to create an imbalance that says that's not what that, there's too much on that. You know, you're relying on that part of the structure to bear too much than what it's supposed to. And so if you think about that, your emotional system, there's supposed to be balance in these things. If we get out of whack where essentially we're saying I'm overblowing the anger response and I'm underdeveloping the rest response, your structure is going to fall. Yes. It's going to start leaning, you know?
That's right. Because if you think you got to fix everybody, every problem, I mean, you know, that's too much, right?
Yeah.
You have to be able to say, it's sad that that's going on with you, but I'm gonna release you to the Father, and I'm going to pick up my mission of growth. So if you have an underdeveloped part of yourself, you have an overdeveloped part, which is your role, and an underdeveloped part. So then the next thing makes sense. This individual has poor emotional insight, or you said it earlier, poor self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know they're playing a role. They just play their role. Their role is their identity. They get up in the morning, they play their role. They go to bed playing their role. They don't. They think this is who they're supposed to be. This is the only way to engage the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's why something like a Gateway workshop or a support group or an environment where others that might be more emotionally healthy or further down this journey can act as a mirror to those men to be able to say, you know what, I'm seeing your life structure leaning a little bit here.
Yes.
And there's this overdeveloped part here, there's this underdeveloped part there, and let me help you see that better. And so that's why a lot of guys at the workshop will say, you know, wow, that's, you know, they might not like it, but they realize that's right, I do need to work on those issues.
Mm. So here's the assumption you can make, because we're talking about what assumptions. They're stuck, they're underdeveloped, they overdeveloped some part, they have poor self-awareness, and here's the other piece. They were wounded somewhere in their past.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just pick up these roles. We grab these roles because of some wounding, some difficult situation. And so then here's just an add-on, if you will. Whenever you're around a person that's role-playing, you're going to hear other people make statements about it. So when there's an angry person in the room, when they walk out, one of them will say, I wonder why he's angry all the time. Oop, mm-hmm. That's a role. That's a role. Or a storyteller, and he leaves the room, someone would say, I don't feel like I know him very well. He just tells a lot of stories, but I don't know who he is. Oop, that's a role.
Mm-hmm.
So other people know it and will make statements. And so these are just basic assumptions you could make when you're around somebody that plays mm-hmm. a role.
Well, that's where we're going to have to end this episode, but there's a lot more that we have to do, and so we're going to come back next time, and we're going to take a look at how these roles, you know, what a person does if they're fixed in these roles, and kind of why a person got there, and then what's driving that, and then how you can sort of begin to shift your emotional system. So please come back and join us next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.